Stolen smartphones have become a big black market business. Around the world, a reported 26 million phones were stolen last year. And here in San Francisco, cell phone thievery makes up half of all crimes, according to Police Chief Greg Suhr. District Attorney George Gascon has called for a so-called kill switch for cell phones because the
value of the phone could be completely eliminated if you put a kill switch on it, so that as soon as the phone gets reported stolen, the phone will no longer be operable.
Kill switches already exist on phones in Australia and the UK. But for now in the US, phone theft is profitable. And it's not just robbery that's making residents of target areas like San Francisco's Mission District uneasy. An attempted rape near 23rd and Guerrero Streets earlier this year reminded neighbors of how important it is to continually raise awareness around this issue.
For me, it just means that we always have to think about this. I'm not that to try to make people feel like they never have any safety, but this needs to be an issue that's always there.
Janelle White is the executive director of San Francisco Women Against Rape. Her organization hosts an annual walk to raise awareness around the issue. It's happening this Saturday.
I think it's important to annually organize ourselves and make sure that people are consciously thinking about sexual assault consistently.
That kind of consistent awareness is key to the self-defense trainings at Impact Bay Area. The nonprofit teaches that even verbally arming yourself can help you scare off an attacker.
Leave me alone! I don't understand! The police shouldn't follow me! Go away! No! No!
KALW's Mary Willis went to a recent training in San Jose and brought back this story.
This might sound like a street brawl, but don't worry, everyone in this fight is safe. Eight women have just finished 22 hours of self-defense training with Impact Bay Area. Each is demonstrating what she's learned to a small crowd of family and friends. A student is fighting one of the three male instructors who are dressed in large cushioned suits and padded football helmets. That's so the students can use their full force against them. The idea is to make the simulated attacks as realistic as possible, to the point that the instructor says disarming comments to the student so she learns not to be intimidated. On the sidelines, family members watch as their loved ones go through a very real-looking and sounding attack. The crowd is told to expect this and to resist the urge to jump in, especially anyone carrying a gun. That's right, they are explicitly told not to use them. The only female instructor today is Jenny Williams.
They call me the whistle instructor, so I am the one who teaches the women the techniques and is on the mat with the student, helping them coach each time.
Williams is a fourth-degree black belt in karate. She says she appreciates that women in this class can use their full force to protect themselves, but she says using the voice is just as important.
Most men that attack women are not looking for a fight, so just that verbal stopping of the attack and showing some resistance is enough to stop the attack in itself.
And I noticed you've got your hands up in front of you. Why is that?
Because we are, we call it the ready stance, and what it is, it's kind of doing a universal stop sign. It's not a karate bring it on kind of position, but more neutral, hand both palms out in front of you, making it very clear that I don't want you to come any closer.
I ask her to demonstrate a few defensive moves.
First, I'm going to use my voice to let him know that I don't want him near me. You need to back up. Leave me alone. Go away. This man is bothering me. No! No!
As she yells no, she's using the palm of her hand to strike the attacker's nose and her knee to strike the groin.
Then I will go for help immediately, and that could be a police, a friend, a parent, a sister, a brother, whoever it is for you, but you want to immediately get help and support.
Williams says with the proper techniques, a woman can deliver a knockout blow to her attacker.
And not only that, but our suited instructors are trained to interpret whether it was a knockout blow. And during their fights, during their class, our simulated fights, they don't go out unless they have really received a knockout blow. And then we will whistle and I will say, okay, now they're out, this fight is stopped, and then they will run to safety.
But there's one more step.
The ending is to pull you back into the present moment and to drop you into your body.
Parisa Shelton is co-owner of the Morning Crane Center where the class is being held. This last step is more of a note to self, to look around and assess where you are.
In case the fight starts on the sidewalk and because of the adrenaline and the tunnel vision, you end up in the street. You just want to be aware of your surroundings and what's going on.
This weekend, Shelton was also a student. She says in the past she had problems with setting boundaries, but today she's learned.
It's okay to set boundaries and that by saying no, if I don't want something, saying no to that person is like saying yes to myself.
Anne Sunderland is also finishing her training today. She's from Oakland, and she says she was recently robbed.
I actually saw my attackers approach, and I sort of froze, and I didn't know what to do. And then obviously, you know, I'm okay. But it was obviously a situation I wanted some training on how to either avoid or deal with it if it happened again.
Sunderland says the main message she's taking away from the course is to trust her instincts if she's ever attacked again.
God forbid if I'm ever in a situation where it becomes physical, I feel like I have the tools to have a fighting chance.
But Sunderland says this doesn't mean she can let her guard down when walking on the street.
You know, unfortunately, I feel like I have to be constantly aware, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But what has really been hit home to me is I can't ever be on the phone. I can't ever be listening to music. I just have to be always very aware of my surroundings. So I don't know if it's necessarily feeling unsafe. I just know I can't be oblivious.
Maybe that's the simplest self-defense tactic of all. In San Jose, I'm Mary Willis for Cross Currents.